What's going on, everybody? This is Colin with...
Hey, guys, it's Elliot.
And today we have a special guest. I'd like to introduce everybody to Ryan Sipple here. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I met these two guys at Boston. Had a little battle.
Yeah.
Went off to kick my butt in different places.
Yeah, let's dive right into that. I do. I remember even before we spoke at the finish line, running, you know, very close to you, and I was just like, "Holy crap! Who is this guy with these cannons for biceps running next to us? Like this big dude." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty impressive for a guy with that build." So, totally. So, yeah. Let's take a step back though. Tell us a little bit more about yourself here and how you got to where you are now here.
So I kind of grew up always in some type of like fitness or regiment. My mom, as a young age, got me into like gymnastics, and then basically that's like really young, like fitting four rules and stuff. Then we got right into wrestling. My dad was a Penn State wrestler. I wrestled growing up, like it was my religion from second grade to my senior year. I was pretty good.
You're in Pennsylvania, right? And you grew up in Pennsylvania, right? Where wrestling is big in Pennsylvania, right?
Oh, it's huge. Like Western Pennsylvania, I think has had the most Olympians come out of that area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the U.S. It's like basically like Texas for
football.
Like football, it's wrestling. It's capitals in Pennsylvania. And Penn State actually is like most dominant sports team in all sports right now. One second, I'm going to turn this TV off. It's
Yeah.
But
very cool.
They've won a couple of national titles as of lately, and he moved Kale Sanderson, which was a undefeated college wrestler, the only wrestler to ever be undefeated through college. He went on to win an Olympic gold medal. He saw the talent in Pennsylvania, and he wrestled at Oklahoma State, so he came to Penn State because of the talent. And since he's been there, it's like it'd been unstoppable. But so like just in that competitive background, wrestled to my senior year. I had some college offers. I got hurt really bad. The only time I ever really got hurt wrestling was my senior year. I had a really bad shoulder dislocate, not where it pops out down, but actually it popped out backwards. So like basically ruined my whole senior year, and I didn't get the scholarships that I wanted, or like they kind of cut them short of what they said they would do. So end up getting recruited. And left for the military. I was a Marine for 5 years. I couldn't even name all the four branches before. Like, I was never an ROTC. I just winged it, kind of went with it. I was looking at the Navy SEALs, and the recruiter for the Navy, I was, you know, 18-year-old kid. The recruiter for the Navy was a pregnant lady that drove a Prius. The recruiter for the Marine Corps was a dude with tattoos, had a good looking wife, and drove a Harley. So I ended up getting I kind of wish I went the Navy SEAL route, but I went through the recon program, so I had to go through infantry school. It's essentially like their version of the Navy SEALs. They're not quite well as funded, but do the same curriculum. Like, we went through the combat dive course, jumped out of airplanes, shot sniper rifles, went through that close quarter stuff. So we did all like the high speed stuff. And I'll tell you what, there was just some absolute freak athletes in there too. Cause like people that kind of brings a certain type of characteristic out, like to do something like that. And being part of a group like that is pretty cool, because I don't know a group of people that are more successful. Like those recon Marines that got out, they're all killing it. Like sometimes it's hard to like ego, like go over visit them, like, "Oh, look at my $1 million house." I'm like, "Oh man, not doing as well as this guy." Like, what's this invention? Yeah. No, either way, it's a good networking system. But throughout the Marine Corps, just having that wrestling my whole life, you know, it was always like two practices a day sometimes, you know, always guiding me. We went on deployment, and it became like, I don't know why, but our platoon became powerlifting. Everybody, we're deployed in the Middle East, and we had a chalkboard with everybody's max deadlift, max bench press, max squat. And it was just, everybody's just meatheads. Like, everybody's just trying to, you know, we were all eating everything and trying to get as big as possible. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, we always had these like fitness events we had to do. And everybody wanted to score perfect on one fitness test. And it was the PFT, which was consisted of pull-ups, sit-ups, and a three-mile run. So your pull-ups to get a perfect score is you'd have to do 20 pull-ups. Each pull-up being worth 5 points. You do 20, you get 100 points for the pull-ups. You had 2 minutes to do 100 crunches, each crunch being 1 point, so you get 100 points. And then the three-mile perfect score was 18 minutes, and every 10 seconds after that, you would lose a point, essentially. So the goal is, like, for promotion and stuff, you'd want to get 300 points. So and when you're strong enough, the 20 pull-ups and the sit-ups, you know, the train for, but the 18-mile, three miles in 18 minutes, like, that especially when you start lifting and put on some size, that's a pretty decent pace, you know. So, yeah. And then they did that. Every Marine does that. We had to do this other thing for recon specific. It's called the RPAT. It is a recon fitness thing they wanted you to do every year to be able to perform at the level of a recon Marine or the fitness level they wanted you to do. And it was that was a pretty tough test, actually. You had to do 500-meter swim in camis, and you weren't allowed to do freestyle. It had to be side stroke or breaststroke. I want to say under 10 or 12 minutes, which isn't super fast when you think, like, but
yeah, you got your gear on, right? Yeah, yeah.
Get out of the pool soaking wet, and you had to run 2 miles. I think I want to say it was 15 minutes, but you're in your camis and you have boots on, so it's like a little bit extra weight. And then you had to do, they did make us do push-ups for 2 minutes, sit-ups for 2 minutes, and pull-ups, then hang. And this is where it actually started getting real tough. You had to do, so then you're in your gear, and you had to have a 50-pound rucksack, and they wouldn't weigh it till the end. And if it was under 50 pounds at the end, it was up to you to put whatever you wanted in this pack. Like, people put like plates in, people put sandbags or whatever. I had to weigh 50 pounds. And if you were like 49 or whatever at the end, they'd make you come back the next day and do it. And sometimes they're like, this pack is definitely not light. And they'd make some of the newer guys like do it 2 days in a row just to be hard as. But you had to do, in any kind of water that you wanted to drink during, it was a 12-mile march or ruck run, you had to carry. So essentially you take two camelbacks, it's like 20 pounds. And then you had to carry a rubber rifle that was simulated like an AR-15, which was, I think, 12 pounds. So you're loaded up at start with like 80 pounds, and you have to do 12 miles under 3 hours. Now, to go 3 hours, you can power hike it, like jog it. But no, the people, it's like anything. Everybody wanted to win, you know. Everybody's like, oh, I can be the first one to finish this. So we were getting closer like to the 2 hour mark with all that stuff on. So, and that's just like, it feels like getting that pack so uncomfortable. It feels like that's like, but that was my extent of endurance. We were lifting, and then I got out of the Marine Corps, and I was like, I don't have to do any more cardio. Like, I'm going to become all like this. Like, I don't know. I came out, my wife still laughs because I thought I was fit. I don't know if I was really fit. My mom called me SpongeBob. I put on some size. I was, dude, I was 20 at 5'8". And
I was going to say, you're okay. So 5'8", and you're what? 220, you said?
At that point. Yeah. I was 220.
Big boy for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to
call it. Cool.
And that's all I cared about was powerlifting. So COVID hit, and I literally like was like, all I'm gonna do is powerlifting. And I was real into it. I was going to school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach, actually, is what I really wanted to do, for like a football team or something like along those lines. But I got out of the Marine Corps. I was 25. I had a fiance. I was living with my parents, was unemployed. I was like, I need to find a job. Going to school for a master's that put me working, started my work at 31 years old. And like, I was like that, I can't really justify being in school that long. Like, there's stuff I want to do with my life. So I started looking at other jobs. I became a city fireman. I found that like the fireman route, I thought was pretty interesting. My last year in the Marine Corps, I was getting out of the Marine Corps. So we had our jump and dive certifications. So we had divers on hand in our unit. And I told them, I was like, I'm getting out of the Marine Corps. Like, this lifestyle those guys are some pretty awesome guys, but those dudes that stand for life on their like third and fourth marriage, it's just kind of busy, like you're all over the place kind of lifestyle. And it's a life I didn't really want to live, to be honest with you. Wasn't anything against the job. The job was really cool. But I had a good reputation. So when people were getting out like that, sometimes they would give them bad billets, like gate guard and stuff. They put me with the Navy divers, which was awesome. Like I didn't have to wear camis. I got like the Navy divers. They're technically under SOCOM command. So they're special operations, like with the Navy SEALs and the Navy. But they're like the hippies of the special force community. Like they're always like super chill and stuff. But either way, we were in charge of the recompression chamber to like treat like decompression for the whole island. And we did two life-saving treatments on one was worse than the other, but basically they were paralyzed when they came to us. We had to do 12-hour treatments and stuff. So I got all those certifications, worked on a bunch. It was just a really cool job, but it made me start like kind of enjoying the idea of medicine and like helping people. And that's where the fire department kind of like, you kind of branched off. And I looked at it when I got out, I was like, it's kind of like you get the action of firefight, the fire, and like kind of reminds me of the Marine Corps, but all you're doing as a fireman is helping people out. You don't ever have to be the bad guy. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And kind of went that route. Now I'm a Pittsburgh City fireman. And so we're getting the fire academy, and they have this thing that's called a fittest recruit. So now I'm like, I can lift the world, but now I have to start running. And they had a mile and a half. And was it like our first entry test? You had to do it in under, I think it was 12 minutes, an 8-minute pace for a mile and a half, which I had no problem. But I'm like I'm trying to be the fittest recruit. I go out there running a 6-minute mile, and I went under 9 minutes, so I still ran fast. But I felt like after that mile and a half, like I was wiped out all day. I was like, I had a headache. I was like, holy crap, I'm out of shape. Like I'm strong, but I cannot move for like
a different type of shape, right? For sure. Yeah.
And then there was this another kid in the academy, and he came out and like basically set the mile and a half record on the run. And I was like, what the heck? How's this dude in such good shape? So we became like really close. He was the Ironmans, but not the fulls. He would do a lot of the 70.3s. So like, maybe I'll do one of those with you in the future. But, you know, I always kind of a bucket list thing. I heard the one dude at our Marine Corps unit, I was going through dive course, actually did them. I was like, it'd be cool to do it one day. But we became really good friends working out and stuff. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to do one day. But I still like hung on to that. Like, oh, I still want to be like, my number one focus was my lifts and stuff, being strong. So then I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do all this work, powerlifting, I'm going to go compete. So I went to my first powerlifting meet, and I was humbled really quick. Like, I mean, really quick. I was squatting, I think, close to, like, in the fives, like, low fives. I think 525 is the most I ever squatted. And the guy that came out, my weight class, whatever, opened and squatted, like, 650 pounds. It was, like, mid-sevens. And I was like, I'm never going to be on this level, ever. So I kind of was like, well, what am I doing now? So I kind of like had a CrossFit, like, hybrid kind of workout. And I signed up for a 70.3. And
what my buddy, was this?
2020, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, 2020 or 21, actually 21. So, yeah, 21. And I didn't have any idea what I was doing training for it. It was COVID. COVID hit, so the gyms were closed. So kind of got me. That's really what changed gears. I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just go for a run. Maybe I'll just go for a bike ride, get outside. And so I did Maine. I signed up for one, actually, I think way back when. And then because of COVID, it got transferred to Maine. I was like, okay. Well, and then it popped up in my emails as a reminder, like, you have this race in a month. And it was a month after I got married. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and do it. So I did. I trained for a month, but I wasn't doing anything like right. I was just on a trainer I did really long rides. And so I did it. I went out and I did really well. I actually did a 428.
Wow.
First half iron.
First half. Damn. Nice job.
And I was still 205.
That's amazing.
Was, yeah. It was the main course up there. And you know what? The bike was about 4 miles short.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's back when it was at Old Orchard Beach, you mean, right?
Yeah. So that was my first one.
Okay. Yeah. The bike is a little bit short, but still, that's still.
I mean, all around, though, I mean, your splits were really good. 30 minute swim, which took me like years to even be close to. And then you ran an hour and a half. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So those basic reconnaissance courses and stuff were, and those military courses were just all day endurance every day. I mean, they weren't like specific. It was like basically base building, but it was like that, like, let's just see if we can get people to quit in the pool. Like these crazy pool workouts, like you're swimming, not really like competitively, like college or even what we do, more like you had camis on all the time. People would hem them so your ankles could be exposed so you could swim harder. But you're talking 3 hours a day. We do 2 to 3 hours a day on land, make us like run up hills with like logs and stuff. And then 2 or 3 hours in the pool a day. And it was just like basically hazing in the pool. They'd have tread waters for hours and camis. And it's like, they'd throw these like 15 pound bricks on the bottom of the pool and rubber rifles. And they make you try tread water. And I'm negatively buoyant. So like when I was treading water and they're like, hold the rifle above your head, I'd be underwater. And I'd like be holding the rifle in the air. They'd be like yelling, like, get your head above the water. And I'm like, I can't, like, back underwater. So, yeah, like there's a lot of high intensity cardio. And like, because I remember like going to that Ironman and being like, yeah, this is a tough feat. And I kind of like was telling people, like, have you ever done any kind of other triathlon before? And I was like, no. And they're like, I kind of, you know, Ironman, they kind of have this ego. And they're like, oh, you're going to be in for it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think I'll be all right, man. I've done like a 10K swim with like my combat gear on. Like, I think I'll be all right. But, you know, it was my first, so I didn't really have any idea what to expect. My buddy was on that Team Zoot, which is, you know, it's Team Zoot. And they had their like meetup and everybody had their triathlon gear on. I look like a scrub, you know, running in like some butt pants and stuff. And they all kind of gave me that, like, who's this guy? Like,
look at this dude. Yeah.
Talking horror stories about the Iron Man and stuff. And yeah. So
and then you smoked every one of them?
Yeah, I actually did.
Yeah.
But that day is basically what translated me over to, like, I fell in love with it that day. I took fifth in my age group and I got a slot to the Iron Man World Championships for the 70.3. My very
Saint
first
George, then,
yeah, yep. Saint George, and you basically hooked right away. and then I was like, oh, dude, I like, you know what? The full, like, I remember watching, there was this documentary back in the day on some taking an average athlete in like 6 months, seeing if he could finish Kona. I remember watching it as a kid, and I was like, dude, it'd be so cool to finish one of those. So I was like, I'm just gonna do it. So I decided to sign up for Maryland a month later. Is the Maryland full. And I like, dude, and there's a big difference between that half and full. And
a little bit.
Yeah, I had very loosely followed a program I bought from Iron Cowboy. And
okay,
like,
gotcha.
And so I come and I'm like sitting in the water and there's this guy next to me and he's like, what have you done any other Ironman events? And I was like, yeah, I did one up in Maine. And he's like, yeah, I did the one North Carolina. He's like, what was your time? And I was like, 4:28. He's like, oh, dang, that's pretty good, man. He's like, I did a 4:35 in North Carolina. And I was like, so what's your goal today? He's like, well, this is my first Ironman, but I'm in really good shape right now. And he ended up taking like seventh overall or something. This kid, I have to track him. So he ended up doing pretty good. He's like, I've been working really hard. He's like, so it's for me, it's like Kona or bust. And I was like, he's like, what's your goal? And I was like, I don't know, like, maybe like trying to go under like 12 hours. Like in reality, like I just take this slow. Like, I don't know, it's a long race and stuff. And he's like, dude, you can like, you did that. He's like, you should just go for it. I mean, at the end of the day, you could be an Ironman before you go to Kona. I was like, yeah, you know what? So I was like, right in the start, my gears changed right there. Get in the water. I swim like a little over an hour. I biked like 5 hour split. And then I remember girl. And I was like, you know, us racers, like I'm not letting a girl pass me. 50 miles into the bike ride, first person that passed me, this girl, she's like tiny little petite girl, passing me mile 50. And I'm like, Heck no. I lay down the hammer, pass her. Mile 80, she pops up again. Like, no, what the heck? My hammer passed her again. And we're coming into the finish, like 108 miles. Or so we're basically about to get off the bike. And I overbiked at this point completely. I'm already, my race is completely screwed now. And she comes by again. And I remember I biked to the finish line as hard as I can. Like, I don't dismount in time at the line. I beat her to the line. The bike, she gets off the bike, all gingerfoot, runs her bike to transition, like, no problem. And I'm like, I get off my bike, both my quads lock up on me. Like, I'm like, walk, like limping over to the bike transition. I set my bike on the thing. I remember sitting in T1, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I remember flicking off the 1 mile marker. I think my bike split was might have been faster than my run split. They're like both 5 hours. But
gotta love it.
Yeah.
It was close. 506 at 505.
So I was in a bad way. I remember like looking at mailboxes, like, all right, I'm gonna jog. And I was like old person, like 90-year-old. Shuffled like to a mailbox and walk a couple steps and it was like the pain cave for 26 miles. And I don't know if you guys ever done that race, but it's this weird loop. Yeah. I had to do the one more time and I was like 112 miles on a bike, 18 miles running. And I remember seeing my family, they're cheering me on, and I'm like completely crippled. I'm like, I have 8 more miles. I'm like, 8 miles itself is out. I was like, how am I gonna go 8 more miles?
Oh man, but you got it done. Yeah. But I mean, certainly even at the half distance, obviously you can make mistakes and overbike or overdo it and pay the consequences, but the full distance, you're almost guaranteed to really pay for it.
Hey everybody, just want to take a quick break from the show here to announce our first official sponsor, and that would be Form Swimming and their Form goggles. So we recently had Form on and we spoke about their product here, all the great advantages of it. But we really are big advocates of the data and what Form goggles can bring to the table to up your swimming. If you're like most of us in the triathlon world, you know, we're really kind of struggling through the swim, trying to get through it the best we can here. And it's not necessarily our background. Even if it is, you know, there's really just some great things to be able to get instant feedback and be able to check things out while you're swimming, which is something that even with our Garmins and our watches is something that we're not able to do. So the goggles do have a display up in the corner and they allow you to see exactly what's going on again in real time. So, you know, we all struggle. I certainly struggle with pacing and being able to keep our splits reasonably close when it comes to our different sets, and you know, especially in the open water, going out too hard, which is going to equate to working harder to go slowing as your form drops. So it's really important to maintain good technique here, and the Form goggles can really help you with that here. So super excited to have them on board and to be able to offer you guys a discount on them. So if you want to take advantage of that, we're actually able to give you 20% off using the code AG, the number 4L20. So age grouper for life, 20, basically AG, the number 4L20 will get you 20% off the goggles. That's about a $50 savings, which is really happy to supply that to you guys here. So thank you to Form for being a sponsor here, and we look forward to your feedback and taking advantage of these.
Yeah, my nutrition, there was nothing that aligned that day. I didn't know what I was really doing, to be honest with you. And,
yeah.
But
you found a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Learning how to do these sports. So then after that, I was like, all right, that's mine. I did it. I did the Ironman, you know, I'm done. And then we're all never done. So
bucket list checkbox. Yep. Done. Move on to the next thing, huh? Yeah.
And nope, still around triathlon. So I signed up for a full, I think, the next week for the following year, Chattanooga. And that was like, okay. I looked for a real coach. But I was also like at a weird stage in the endurance thing where I was kind of just doing it all. And it's kind of learned from example. I was like, well, I did really well in the half. I've done all this CrossFit wrestling, like that, like quick mid distance endurance is there. So I was like, I just need to build a base. And I had a pretty good friend that was a really good trail runner. And it's funny because there's a very technical, tough trail running community in central PA. Like these trails, like, and these athletes could be like, there's a couple people that are sponsored that have come out of there. I think there's some North Face athletes that are trail runners, but these people are just phenomenal runners, but they don't care to do like road running. They don't care to do anything other than trail running. And it's like, only care about like Pennsylvania trail running. And it's like these like hippie festivals. And these dudes are incredible. Like, I mean, incredible athletes. Like, they're running like so fast. There's one dude named Matt Lipsy. He does like the sub ultra distance running, trail running, like 25Ks. And it's insane. Like, I think he's like, he hit the road for one, like on the one split I raced him. He has road split like 19 miles into like a technical trail run. It was like a 5:10 pace for a mile. That was the only mile on the road. But like, wow. you could go become an Olympian trail, like a marathon runner if you wanted to, but just I'm a trail runner. So all I do is trail running, but good for him. I mean, but that's this war. But so I got into that community and I was thinking, all right, build a base. I'll run. I'll just do, if I can get my run up, I'll be all right. So I did a couple ultras, like 50, quite a few 50 Ks and a couple 100 Ks. That's about far.
Okay.
But then the opposite happened, you know, you start doing that and you dull the knife because you're putting in so much time on your feet. And it's like, then you start losing speed. And, I noticed that. So I got a coach and, put a big effort in for Chattanooga and I improved my chat. So I finished 11:37 and then I basically improved by almost 2 hours at Chattanooga, the 9:38.
Nice.
But I ran that race kind of like an idiot. Chattanooga.
Yeah. Well, that bike course is 4 miles long too, right? So it's an extra long bike course too. So considering that versus the Pancake Flat of Maryland too, that's a big difference.
You can lay on your back then float down the river. So
that's fair. That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah.
Wise, to be honest with you. My cousin that I'm really close with, we graduated high school together. I'm working for Chattanooga for 6 months. You know, it's like the only thing I'm thinking about. And I'm like, I want to go to Kona, whatever. My cousin comes home 2 weeks before Chattanooga. And she's like, I'm getting married in the Cayman Islands, October 13th. And I'm like, what? October 13th? I was like, that's when Kona's going to be. And she's like, oh. And I was like, well, I'm not going to miss your wedding. It's like, I'm like super close to her. Like, I'm not missing your wedding. So, all right, well, heck with it. So I'm like, basically all bets are off. And I was like, I'm going to go do it. Just send it. See if what, like, I had my paces planned out. I bike smart. But then I came off the bike and I was like, oh, I actually feel good on this run because I trained properly. And I ran the first, I think, half marathon of the marathon at like a 1:28. And I'm notorious for running too hard off the bat. But I think I ran the second half in like 2 hours. And I was like, I'm going to run.
Still a lot better than Maryland, though, huh? Still 90 minutes sweat faster, right? So,
yeah, I'm pretty excited to try to take another shot at those fools. They're just a chess game, those full Ironmans. It's like, it's cool because it's a thing. It's like, it's a patient. There's a lot that goes into it, you know?
Absolutely.
Completely different athlete than the 70.3. 70.3 is like such a fast sport in reality. Like mid-distance, but the fast guys can be really fast.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So do you kind of lean towards Ironman more than 70.3 right now? Like, what's your interest in?
I'm doing Nice because I basically ran off plan, blew up. I probably left probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes on the course, but I didn't even show up to award ceremony. I missed my podium by one place that race. I was sixth. So obviously, you know, I was going to take a tennis, but they emailed me about Nice, and my wife's like, oh, that's sweet. Like, we should take it. She's never been to Europe. So we're going out there for that race. And it's just going to be cool to go out to Europe and stuff. Eventually, I want to try to qualify for Kona, maybe early next season or something.
Always next year, buddy. Absolutely. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's right. So to finish the picture of you here. So you're married here and you got a kiddo now, right?
Yeah, I just came into the picture. They actually just walked out of the hotel room. She drove a separate car. They headed back to Pittsburgh to make it a little quieter in here. But yeah, I just had our first. He's awesome. He's just like, I'm so high energy. I was like, my baby's definitely call it, cry, be crazy. He is the complete opposite. It's like the calmest, coolest little baby. Everybody's like, your baby is so cool. He's always smiling. And he's like, he's just, honestly, it's just, there's nothing better than seeing him smile, man. It's like, it's great. But
and how old is he now?
He's about to be, on the 17th, he'll be 6 months. So he's
yeah,
five and some change right now.
Yeah. And yeah. How's life and training with a newborn?
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah. I was putting in some crazy hours for Chattanooga last year. Yeah, it's definitely not happening this year.
So what's crazy hours?
So I actually pushed, like, I think my max week last year was almost 30 hours.
Wow.
My max.
Wow. Okay.
Justin at Ohio, and I raced Ohio last year, and I got what I think is, I mean, everybody said, I think it's a bogus drafting penalty. I was like kind of coming off the swim, and we were not allowed to wear wetsuits. That really slows me down. I was like slingshotting past people, like coming up on their heel and going like that. And I went to do that to somebody, and a person tried to pass me at the same time. So I like almost crashed into this person. I slammed on the brakes, got back behind this person, and I'm going like 23, 24 miles per hour average. They're going like 19. And I'm like, all right, pick up speed again. Like they want me to drop five bike lengths behind that. And I got hit with it. So I basically ruined my race. But I just remember my cousin came to watch, and the one that's getting married, and she's like, here are those Everyman Jack guys. They're beasts. They like and then so ever since then I've had a vendetta against EMJ guy.
So, nice. You know,
I'm like, oh, you guys are all fit, so it's fun to shoot after you guys, man. So yeah,
that was great. Yeah, that's tricky. That is a tough, that kind of reminds me almost of Sam Long and what he had happened to him at 70.3 Worlds last year. But hopefully we learned from it here. But that's cool. So I'm curious with your training here. So or what would you say you're putting in for volume now? What's your average kind of training volume these days?
10 hours, 15 hours maybe on a good week.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll probably gear it up, obviously, before Nice.
Yeah.
Build it up and stuff. But I actually got a pretty cool – my parents, my grandfather, he was actually he was an artist. His job was window displays for, like, Macy's, JCPenney's, all the things downtown before they came corporatized. He would do, like, areas, like Christmas, Halloween. That was his full-time job. So he grew up in the city. He moved out north, which now is, like, suburbs. But back then it was all farmland. And he has a really cool piece of property that he built there. He's passed away, so my father lives there now. But it's like a triathlon. And if you guys are ever in Pittsburgh, you guys got to stop by this place. It's like a triathlon training, like Haven. It's like, it is catty cornered to North Park, which is like, you have like 50, 60 miles of single track. There's a 5 mile loop for road biking. Then you go right into the country road biking wise. And on that property, there's like a football sized pond. I have buoys set up in there. So like every week.
That's where those videos on your social media come from, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a cool place too, man. I just love bringing people there. And then you can swim. And then there's this like a 6 mile loop that is trail running you can do. It's nice to get off that impact. Single track. It's not super technical. But it's like, that's like my happy place, that 6 mile loop. It's fun to run.
All right. And do you live right in Pittsburgh now, or?
Yeah. So when I became a city fireman, you had to live in the city limits. Our union sense has lifted that. So you do not have to live in the city limits anymore. And for schooling, we'll probably eventually move. I'll probably just keep that house and rent it. But we want to move up north towards my parents, which is a nicer area now, because it's like kind of has a really good public school there. It's pretty expensive to live there. It's just with the house market right now, we're not really in a rush. But right now, yeah, we're down basically in the city, Pittsburgh, the neighborhood. Yeah.
So is that closer to Leechburg?
Leechburg is? I'm not positive.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's where my, I have some family there. We actually, my original plan, we're shooting this, what's this, January, or should January, July 3rd, the day after Pennsylvania 70.3, which Ryan raced at here. But my plan was to go down and race that and then hang out with my family a bit there. And yeah, there it's somewhere, I think, about an hour north or around Pittsburgh. So, but cool. Nice. So, yeah. And then you raced Western Mass and then Pennsylvania yesterday here. So how's the season going so far?
You know, it's that kind of season that it's like that. Just if this happened, or if just like, and it just seems like the stars have not aligned.
Well, you're in a tough place right now because the first year gains that you had last year, where you're taking off like 2 hours from your time, this kind of things aren't happening anymore. So it is a lot more marginal now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what? It's kind of cool you say that, because I think a lot of athletes, they have this idea where like, I'm going to just become so fit. My base fitness is going to, I'm going to be able to just be good at everything. Like, yeah, I'm going to be able to run a marathon. And I put a lot of time into the Boston Marathon, and that necessarily doesn't translate to triathlon. If I really want to have a good tri season, I probably should have been putting more time into like balancing swim and bike, get those better. But thing what happened with me, I'm going into Western Mass. I just had a month of just like, basically my training was pretty much just all over the place. It was pretty garbage. Felt great, and I was hammering it. Like, I mean, I was like on top of the world. And I was coming down the hill, and it went out in front of me, and slammed on the brakes, slid out, went down, hit my arm, kind of like scarred up, landed on my head, knocked my helmet off, did like a front flip over my bike,
and knocked your helmet off. Really?
Yeah. Because wow. I crashed pretty good, because I basically was going down a hill. It was like a downhill, and then it was like an uphill, right? So I'm like, I'm going to hammer this downhill, and there's like a road. I don't have a stop sign. This car pulls out. I'm like, I'm going to hammer this hill and rip, pull down in front of me. So it's like, I'm going to slam into the back of it. And I was like I was on a road bike, and I was up on like cranking pretty hard. And just from my, I was like, oh, and then when I stepped on those brakes, I'm usually pretty good with bike handling. And I just went down pretty hard. Bike was bent a little bit. I ended up going to the hospital. I had a concussion. I was bailed out for about a week. I was covered in road rash. And it's just like, I try to get back from it. Then my wife, I was part of a wedding. It was like just a quick wedding. Then my wife had a wedding, it's Indian wedding. I was like, all right, I'm gonna get back to training. And then we got, our whole family got sick. First time my baby got sick. I tried to pull out of Western Mass, try to transfer it. And you basically, you're just gonna lose your money. So I was like, I already paid for it. I had already had my work lined up so I could be off that weekend, because we do work weekends sometimes. But I was like, let's go up there and get a race shirt. But I felt like I raced the race pretty decent for not being in, but it caught up to me. I was 10 miles into the run. It's the last 5K, and the lack of training volume, like, you could just, it just was like, my pace is just completely dry. I was like, I think I put like, I was running like a 6:10 or 6 minute mile, and I dropped to like a 7:30 or 8 minute mile, and I was just like, just in that like, I'm done with
survival mode. Oh, yeah
mode. yeah, so I really, really wanted to race. So that I lost, like, in the way that ended, it kind of just sucked, because I was leading my age group, and I locked up with like a 5K, and then about 2 miles left, number one, my age group passed me, and then with less than a mile, I'm trying to run, like, you're trying to go hard, but it's like, there's nothing left in your legs. And then the dude that took second of my age group passed me, and it was just like, I think like total like five guys passed me. So I think it dropped from like eighth or ninth overall to like 14th or something. But, and then so that happened. So I was like, all right, I put in a ton of volume since then in Penn State. I trained really tough. I did this race, and I did it last year, and I did it this year, and I had a lot of improvement from last year. It's called the Garrett County Grand Fondo. It's not really a race. It's kind of more of like a, yeah, camos, but they're so informal. But it's just a gnarly, gnarly day on a bike. And it's just so much fun. Like, it's the best day on a bike. Like, I just have so much fun there every year. And people have these, like, you know, real nice road bikes. And I was like, my coach was like, you should take your tri bike. I don't think he realized like what this was. And I was like, I was literally like, the only person on a tri bike. So funny, like doing Canada. It was like just holding onto my pads, like upright, like. But it was 125 miles, about 17,000 feet of elevation. So wow. that's a big legit. Down.
Yeah.
So I did that. I was in incredible climbing shape. Like, and I've always been strong at like over gearing and cranking. Like, that's my strongest part of my bike. And so when that chain got stuck yesterday, it really sucked because I always pass people on the uphill. I don't have an aero tire yet. I don't have a disc wheel. So they would like kind of like on the downs, they could kind of like aero past me. And then it's like, I'll catch you on the hill. And I was picking people off on the hill. Like every hill I pass, like, you know, pass significant amount of people until you kind of thin out the field. So to add 5 minutes, I think it was 5 minutes and 41 seconds from my bike computer to my watch was the time. And it just sucks to add that time on what you think is your strength. And you put all the time in to be strong at that one area. And that's the area that like basically cut you down. So I end up, again, I think I was 15th overall this time. And I somehow snuck on the podium after that. So I was basically playing, trying to play catch up. And then that kind of throws your pacing off because then you're like anger biking at a higher wattage than you probably should be. And then, yeah, you know. So I don't know. But still excited. It was a really cool finish line. I mean, that race was awesome. It was very tough. Very tough 70.3 though. The bike.
Hilly bike course, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Really big climb at mile 28. Bigger than the Snow Canyon, I'd say, in St. George. It's probably the biggest climb I've ever done, man. It's a big climb just in general, like any kind of biking, that'd be a decent climb.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, there's one other one that's a decent climb, but it's nothing too crazy. And then it's just rolling hills the rest of it. But the net gain is more than the net down. So you're essentially going uphill technically the whole time. Except you don't get as much down as you do up. They had a speed limit.
So would you? Oh, man.
Yeah, it's never fun. They had two tiny.
I understand the speed limits. Yeah. That's tough. Like
per hour. It was like, that's like, right after you go up this big climb, and 25 miles per hour is like, that's pretty slow, man. like
make it absolutely. Like
30. I mean, it wasn't a technical downhill by any means. I don't know. But,
wow. Yeah, that's wild. So, how would you compare that to the Western Mass bike course? Are they given comparable, or was, what would you say?
What? Really comparable. Like, Pennsylvania was, it's in the center of these big rolling mountains. So, it's like they're rolling, the roads are way nicer.
That's good.
Way nicer than Mass. Yeah, Mass had this like sections where you're trying to bomb down the hills and it was like just like real crazy choppy.
Yeah,
Western Mass was actually like you could go faster on it for sure. Like it is faster, but that wasn't an easy bike course by any means either. I was kind of a
no, it wasn't
course too. Yeah, so I'd say Penn State was a tougher Ironman too. Especially the run course. The run course on Penn State was like you ran down a hill to start off, and it was a pretty big grade drop. And then you were basically fighting basically got the hill the rest of the run. And then you basically ran back down, lost all your elevation, and it was zigging and zagging. So it was like a lot of those like tight turns where you like that cuts a lot of time. It was just
can be tricky. Yeah.
It was cool. It finished in Beaver Stadium, which is the football stadium, the 50-yard line. Right. There's not their finish line than that, man. That's pretty neat. Run right down
that
the tunnel.
That is very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, so as a fireman, like, how does training work for you? Are you able to get any training in while you're, you know, working, quote unquote working, or like, how does that work for you?
Yeah. So, we work 24-hour shifts, and then we have technically 72 hours off, so 3 days off. But on those days off, so a 24-hour shift is an AM shift and a PM shift. So it's two shifts technically. On those days off, it's like a rotating roster. So you can end up usually on those 3 days off, usually can have a chance of working overtime once to twice. And that could come in as a 12 hours in the daytime or 12 hours at night, like an overtime shift. So you work all the overtime. You can end up basically living at the firehouse because you work a 24-hour shift, go home and then come back at night and then be there the next morning for another 12-hour shift. And go home, have a day off, and another 24-hour shift. So, like, it's kind of one of those jobs. It's really cool because you can binge work or you can kind of binge play. So for me, I'm kind of like, that kind of works for me because I'll like work a whole ton at once. But yeah, in between calls, you can take in like your bike and trainer and stuff. I obviously don't try to like, I'm not going to try to, at first, like last year, I'd like try to like do like 5 hour, like oh, I'm just going to sit on a trainer all day. Then you're like not part of the squad and stuff. And you're not doing like stuff around the firehouse. And they're not rules, but there's like just a firehouse etiquette. So like you get away like an hour. If you really push it, maybe a 2 hour workout. And then you're getting caught up between calls, fire calls, medical calls.
Sure.
So it's like you can do workouts. They're not going to be like the best workouts by any means. We have a treadmill there. To two guys I work with, the one guy got me into Ironmans. And the other guy's my lieutenant. He's an incredible CrossFit athlete, like a beast at like cleaning, like front squatting 315, like doing pistol squats, muscle ups, like all that kind of stuff. And the three of us are pretty competitive with each other. My buddy did a 510. He didn't train. He didn't get on his bike once in like a year. He just did a 510 at Penn State, and he hasn't been on
his.
He hasn't swam. He swam a 34-minute swim. He hasn't swam in like a year. He just like does these CrossFit workouts. I mean, his CrossFit workouts are like he's in a body bag after laying on the ground trying to breathe in air, but they're not right Ironman specific. Not,
yeah, right. Swim by grunt specific. Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Does he have a swim background though?
No, but he's built like you. So his wife is a swimmer. No, he never really did any swimming. But he's
that's impressive.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's cool. Nice. So we got Nice. Anything else this season?
I'm doing the Chicago Marathon, but that's just kind of a
check. That'll be after, right?
Yeah, it's not really I don't even know if I'm gonna really race. I mean, I'll go run as hard as I can at the time, but I don't think I'm gonna really actually put a training, like any training into it, like we did, like in Boston.
Right. But, what was your time at Boston again?
I was like
2:40, 21:26, 20 something.
Yeah. So yeah, So that's funny. I want to talk to you guys about this because I listened to your guys.
So we're all within what, 21 seconds of each other then?
So I was in the corral. So I ran the Boston.
You started with me.
I was the corral behind you.
Oh.
5:06. So wow. I was 3 hour guys. And I knew I could run faster. My goal was a 2:45. So I was pumped with my time at Boston. I know yours was, you said 2:40 or whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was such a cool race. Come on, man. That was such a cool race.
It was.
That finish
line. That was your first time doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like, you hear that one, the kissing mile or whatever, the girls, like, you turn the bend and you can hear these girls hooting and hollering from like half a mile away. Some European dude ran past me and he's like, if that doesn't get your heart rate up, I don't know what will. Like, <yeah. laughs> and
it's a special race for sure. Yeah. You know,
like turn that bend, it's like you're in a stadium. People are just, oh, it's so cool. But, yeah.
So you're going to do it again?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if I'll do it like I did this year. It's kind of, you know, I'm not sure, honestly. There's a couple of dudes that qualified for it this year that were like friends of mine. They want to go do it next year. So I'm like, I'll go do it if you guys do it kind of thing. But it's not like, it's I feel
priority
like
priority kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was your training mileage like for that?
So my coach, he was a D1 runner and he has access to this kid that he coached in high school that runs for Florida State. He just ran a sub 14 minute 5K. He had the sixth fastest time ever at Florida State as a true freshman. This kid's a beyond gifted. Zach Leachman is his name. He'll probably someday be a pro triathlete because he's done pretty good at the Olympic distance stuff. So he's a really good runner, but my run, like a lot of people cranked it really high. I was maybe like 40, 50 miles a week. But I did a lot of like speed work and the workouts I did were pretty like specific, and he had some really good run workouts, really good speed workouts.
But you're obviously still swimming, you know, I know you focused on your run, but you were swimming and biking still too, right?
Yeah. But heavily with no other than like get on the bike and do a couple hours on the bike and swim here, not really any structure to those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there wasn't really, there were there for volume, but not really for structure. They weren't structured really. Okay. What did you guys end up doing for that? What was your guys' build up for Boston? Are you guys going like crazy, like 100 miles a week and stuff? Nah.
Hell no.
I think we were less than you. I mean, 35 to 40, but we were, I was like into tri training. So definitely kind of up my longer runs. But I mean, volume has always kind of been down for when I run marathons.
Yeah. You know, 50 is actually probably an exaggeration. That's probably maybe like my best week I had. Maybe we're probably close to 35, 45 in between there, probably even 30s. That's actually, it's probably pretty similar to that, actually, to be honest with you. I'd have to look back. I know it wasn't.
No, so, I mean, how did you learn how to run that fast? So, I mean, I was definitely not running those kind of speeds when I was starting. Like, I mean, this is like your third year in the sport.
So I was always a really gifted runner. Always. Like, always. I remember in high school, I wrestled. And like, if you could genetically pick a sport that you're just, you can pick up and like, you can just go, like, I should have just been running. Like, I my senior year, I had some kid that we didn't get along. I don't know. The kid, soccer player and track kid. He ran the mile for high school. And he was like talking. And I was like, dude, I could beat you in the mile right now. And he's like, yeah, right. Blah, blah. I ran a 4:55 mile in gym class just out of nowhere. My track.
And did you beat him?
Yeah, I beat him in gym class. He ran, and my track coach came up to me and was like, hey man, like you're really good at running. Like you should think about running. And I was such a shithead kid. Like, sorry for swearing. But I like told the track coach, I said, and he's like this like big wig track coach too, because our high school is not like a small high school. Like I told him basically running is not a real sport. It's training for a real sport. So you know, just, and then I went to boot camp and stuff, and I was always the 3 mile run. Like I think I ran a fastest time I ran a 3 mile, and now these aren't sanctioned by any means. They're like some Marine put them on, but I ran under 16 minutes on a 3 mile in the Marine Corps. So, and I was like always trying to do the fittest recruit. So that was always one of the runs, and the run always came super easy to me. So it's always been there. I never really tapped into it, I guess, until lately.
I just find it funny. There's 30,000 people that do Boston, and we saw you multiple times throughout the course on race day.
I hear it everywhere, man. I keep seeing you guys. I hopped on the train with you guys. I ran that train till the wheels fell off.
Me too.
exactly. So how I got into the Boston Marathon was on a whim. It was a month after I ran 100K. I basically had no fitness, like, for running speed at all. And I was still, like, really beat up from the 100K.
100K, yeah.
Which was this Rabid Raccoons. It was a pretty brutal 100K, like, real technical, whatever, all single track, a lot of hills. Like, to the point where my ankle soft tissue was just, like, still beat up. Like, of course, like, my ankles weren't there, like, just, you know, from that impact from, like, ultra. I was on my feet, I think, for 14 hours. So it wasn't in like a track 100. This is like a pretty brutal 100K. So I go up to the Pittsburgh Marathon. I'm like, I don't have any idea what I'm going to run. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just see if I can hang with a 3 hour pacer. Just why not? Let's see if we can make Boston, right? Let's do it. So I end up running this guy over, like kind of talking. And in about, I remember mile 17, it was like, we just went quiet. And I was like, you know what? There was like, and I felt pretty good. I was running with them, and I was like, we're at mile 20. I was like, all right, I'm going to drop the pacer. Like, I'm going to see if I can push it up. And I remember running, like, and it was Pittsburgh Marathon, which is a tough marathon. And it was pouring down rain the whole race, pouring down rain. Like, you're crazy, like thunder. I thought I was going to get canceled. I was like, don't get canceled. I'm going to break three and stuff. And I remember like, all right, I'm dropping this guy. I run up, and like, I slowed down just for like a split second because I'm like looking at the course, and like, he passes me again, like, with the pacer card. And I was like, oh man, I did drop him. So I basically finished with him, the pacer, to basically the last mile. And, you know, I just sprinted the last mile in. I ended up running a 2:58:45, I think it was. And so I got into the Boston. I didn't know if I was going to be good enough to get into the Boston.
Right. Right.
But it got me in to the Boston. And, so I basically, that's the only marathon I really ran. So it was basically where I got seated at. I think I was like, my bib number was almost 6,000. I finished like 600 or something. So like, I'm running with people. I'm running. So I ran the first half super hard, but I'm running like 6 minute mile. I remember listening to your podcast. You're like, I wish I ran the downhills harder. I took advantage of all the downhills as hard as possible, as hard as I could. Like, but yeah, I paid for it big time. Yeah. But running, I was running at like a 6:50. These people are running around me like a start, like 6:40, 6:50 pace. I'm running like a 6 minute mile. I mean, I was zigging and zagging like I was playing football or something, man. I was like on one sidewalk, on the other sidewalk, in between, like basically the first 6 miles. I bet you 4,000 people in the first. And then yeah. I was like, all right, I finally can actually run. I'm open up. And I ran so hard. My halftime was a 1:17 or something. And I was under 2 hours, 20 miles, under 2 hours. And I was like, and then the hill started hitting. And I was like, oh, I stopped.
Hey, still got there at a pretty darn good time. That's pretty impressive, man. Good for you to battle through and keep it going. So, that was cool. I'm really glad you came up and said something to us. And I love seeing your social media. I think it's super inspiring. You do a good job with it, stuff like that. So it's awesome to hear your story and just how you're doing, and can't wait to continue to watch you progress in the sport here, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I hope to see you guys around. It's fun. At the end of the day, like, you see the sport, I think there's a lot of ego involved, and obviously everybody wants to win. Like, but all jokes aside, like, it's so much fun to just compete with some people that are like on the same level, where like any day it could be either person's race, where like that's just where it just becomes so much fun. And I don't think enough adults have that in their life, where like, and I think it's really like mentally I think this or last month was men's mental health.
It
awareness.
Was. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody knew about it. But yeah,
but I'd never been in mentally a better place, I think, with having something to compete in again. Because growing up, it's like that's how you live life, especially in a sport like the wrestling background I grew up in with. I think you said you did hockey back in your day. Having something to drive you in the morning other than just like monotony of like I need to make money and stuff, like having a hobby. It definitely
passion,
does.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Takes away absolutely. From-
but it's worth it, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Well, yeah, we'll have to have you on again here and keep watching you progress here, but not sure if we're going to see you in Nice here. We'll see what happens, but definitely look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
How was your race, man? Real quick before I let you go. How was bike and everything, man? You killed it over there.
It was good. Good. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Great experience, you know, being over there, and had a much better day than at Western Mass here for sure.
Yeah. Killer time, man. Killer time.
Yeah. So, it was really good. We'll talk about that one, some point soon here.
All right. Yeah. I don't want to.
No, all good. All good. So, well, thanks again, Ryan. Really appreciate you being on here. And hopefully we'll catch up soon. I'll definitely let you know when I come to Pittsburgh, and we'll keep you posting some other stuff coming up here for sure.
Awesome. Good talking to you guys, honestly.
Cool.
Guys
are- yeah. All right, Ryan. Be good, man.
See you, Ryan.
Take care. See you, buddy.
See you later.